Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
First to my good evening. Welcome to the programme. If you've missed the news today, fear not. Here it is, bundled up into less than 30 minutes. So coming up before 5.30, how successful has a mobile phone ban on school premises been? We're going to hear from the Education Minister shortly. What is MoneyVal and why is it so important for the Isle of Man? It was something that was discussed by the Chief Minister on Man in Line today. How many times, if ever, have you donated to the Isle of Man's food bank? Well, donations are down. We're going to hear more about that. We'll also have the latest on the Ramsey Swing Bridge and where repairs are up to there. We'll also have the traffic and the travel, a look at the weather as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch about any of the stories you hear, you can email studio@manxradio.com or text. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Lewis. Fastamai.
The Chief Minister admits it's a difficult balance trying to make sure the island passes its upcoming MoneyVal assessment while still encouraging business here. The European Standard will assess the effectiveness of the Isle of Man's defences for combating financial crime next year. Here's Alfred Cannon.
It is absolutely important that we get through this assessment, and we're applying maximum efforts to ensuring that we do so.
The family of a teenager from Castletown who died from a stab wound has thanked the Isle of Man for its support. 14-year-old Christopher McBurney died following an incident in Ramsey in May. The Department of Education has confirmed the headteacher at Skolpurt Lamora will continue his additional role as acting head at Russian Primary School in September. Simon Murphy took on leadership of both schools a year ago after the head and deputy head were seconded to other areas of the department. And a new initiative to support inclusive childcare across the Isle of Man will go live from September. The Childcare Inclusion Scheme 2025 is designed to help childcare providers make their services more accessible to children with additional educational needs. In the latest international news now, a man's been handed at least 28 years in jail for murdering his ex-wife as she walked their baby to the shops in Bradford. He'd traced Kulsumar Akhtar to a women's refuge before stabbing her last April. The judge sentencing Habubar Masoom described him as jealous, controlling and coercive. The union representing resident doctors has confirmed it'll begin 5 days of strike action in England from Friday. The British Medical Association says it remains unhappy with an offer on pay and conditions. And craft beer giant BrewDog is closing 10 bars across the UK, including its flagship pub in Aberdeen and 3 sites in London. It's citing rising costs, increased regulation and economic pressures. Some are expected to shut within days. Those are the headlines. We'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Mostly dry this evening, actually, just a small risk of the odd shower. Temperatures will be around 18 Celsius at first, dropping to 13 overnight, mainly moderate west to northwest winds. Then tomorrow, dry but cloudy in the morning, then bright and sunny spells will develop during the afternoon. A moderate to fresh northwesterly wind, again with highs of around 18. And pretty similar on Thursday, dry and bright, variable amounts of cloud, moderate winds and maximum temperatures again. 18. Sunset this evening 9:34. Sunrise tomorrow morning just after 5:15.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrit Trading Estate.
Are you a landlord looking for an easier life with a guaranteed return? Landlord Lifeline specialise in helping owners like you. For a free, no obligation meeting, call 616 600 or visit landlordlifeline.im.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. please call 646999. Brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. Now, you might remember that last month we heard about a growing movement on the Isle of Man of parents who want to delay giving their children smartphones, and they're really worried about the impact they're having on social skills and mental health. Well, this campaign has been emboldened by the introduction over the past academic year of a new island-wide policy from the Education Department, which essentially says smart devices should not be used on school premises. Well, in what is the first week of the school summer holidays, Lewis has been talking to Education Minister Daphne Kane about how this policy has been received.
As far as I'm concerned, it has been very well received. The feedback I've had from schools is that there has been noticeably higher levels of social interaction in the break times, in particular lunch times, in those schools. So hopefully is viewed as a success.
Just remind us then why this was introduced.
There's obviously a wider conversation about the age of young people accessing the internet and in particular social media. And that is a sort of wider societal concern. I think in school, it's the level of distraction, particularly during lesson time with binging up messages. Also, there is a risk, a safeguarding risk. So it's very important, while there is a mobile phone policy about the use and the acceptable use of devices is another policy, that there has to be equally some education of children into the safe use of devices and also their internet and other access.
Teachers, have you had feedback from them in terms of, you mentioned lesson time? It must be easier in the classroom to not have to be issuing those reminders every 5-10 minutes if somebody's sat at the back on their phone or you hear something beeping. What are they saying? Have you heard directly?
Yes, I've heard from teachers that there was a noticeable increase in volume in the break times when children were talking to each other, students talking to each other. In lesson time, it's a massive plus that both teaching staff, setting the example as much as anything, not getting distracted by mobile devices, but also students. I wouldn't say it's 100% attendance or focus, but obviously there's a lot going on for a lot of students and the weather's hot, or all the feedback that I have had has been that it's a positive and we're not actually thinking of amending it anytime soon.
That is Education Minister Daphne Kane. I love the fact there was a phone that went off towards the end of that interview. You can find out much more at manxradio.com. It's a really interesting one, isn't it? We know that we have to balance the risks against the fact that that is the way technology is going for children. But some very interesting thoughts from you on our social media pages about this one, ironically. 7:30 past 5. Now, the Chief Minister admits it's a difficult balance trying to make sure the island passes its upcoming Moneyval assessment while still encouraging business here. The European Standard will assess the effectiveness of the island's defences for combating financial crime next year. And the report is said to be crucial to the Isle of Man's continued economic success and reputation as a well-regulated international finance centre. It was one of the things that the Chief Minister Alfred Cowan was talking about on Man in Line today. And he said he and his administration were taking this Moneyval assessment very seriously.
Effectively, the Council of Europe takes a view on international responsibilities that are being followed in terms of money laundering and criminal activities by various nations, and the Isle of Man is one of the nations that will be assessed. It's pretty much a global standard, and following that assessment will be graded effectively. We'll either remain on the white list where we are, could go onto a grey list or even worse, but not passing the test could have ramifications for our economy and may give some headache to particularly the capabilities of the economy to conduct financial transactions at its current levels.
Are you confident?
Look, we're working really hard to make sure that the Isle of Man is in the best possible shape to pass this assessment. That does involve making sure that the regulators are working properly to ensure that the various sectors, financial services sector, the gaming sector in particular, are properly being overseen, are properly regulated, are properly audited. But it does also mean working in partnership with business as well. And I know there's been a big program of engagement that has taken place, and there will be further programs, because part of the assessment process is that inspectors will go to businesses businesses to see for themselves what is actually happening on the ground. So it is important. We're having to apply ourselves quite rigorously to this. And of course, there is a cost attached to this as well, unfortunately. But it is really important that as an island, we get through it. If you're a regulated business, then you need to be complying with all the rules that are in place. You've really got to know and be able to trace every single pound that's going through your business and identify every person that is connected with that business from a customer perspective. So there's a lot of regulation. And I think one of the issues that we're sort of dealing with at the moment is the balance between having the right regulation in place, being absolutely confident about that, and the capabilities of businesses to effectively comply with that and to ensure that we don't stamp out, for example, innovation, and that businesses are capable of moving forward. So it's quite a fine balance to achieve, but it is absolutely important that we get through this assessment. It is an important one. It'll take place in October 2026, and we're applying maximum efforts to ensuring that we do so.
That is the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, explaining the MoneyVal assessment that's coming up next year. You can listen back to Man in Line incidentally as a podcast at manxradio.com. You can also watch it on the Manx Radio YouTube channel as well. 5:10. Now, donations to the Isle of Man Food Bank are declining at a time when help is reported to be needed more than ever. John Moss has been to the centre of operations to speak to CEO Neil Mellon.
I had been doing some research to see, not we had to have one, I was going out to prove that we didn't need one, and then discovered actually yes, we absolutely did. We're so well supported by companies such as Marks and Spencer's, Tesco, the Cooperative, many others, Robinson's. We have some really good quality stuff, which you'll see as we go around.
So people come here, basically people who need help?
People who need help find that they're in a crisis will come here, either referred by a professional, that could be somebody from the courts, prison, probation, or Department of Education, teachers, educational officers, or a dinner lady, grandmothers ringing up but concerned about their children or their own adult children or grandchildren. It can be anywhere.
Neil showed me round the food bank's operation next to the creamery in the former Isle of Man farmers' offices.
Things like crock pots here, quite a few of these.
Well, these are for our clients when we have been working with them for a while and we know that they don't have access to cooking facilities, or if they have major fuel problems and they're behind with their payments, we know that we can get them onto a crock pot. It's a lot more economical than using an oven.
You put an awful lot of research into this. You don't just dole food out.
No,
you look into the reason why the food is needed.
Yes, absolutely.
What particular needs there are.
Yes, and no two people are ever the same. No two families are ever the same.
That's the CEO of the Isle of Man Food Bank talking to John there, Neil Mellon. And there are lots of donation points around the island. You can find them in most supermarkets, and there's a full link of them over at manxradio.com, but they do amazing work there. 5:12, and a Ramsey commissioner claims there's been a lack of positive information about the swing bridge since it was closed for maintenance. Drew McGuinness said during a Q&A session on Facebook that it could feel like Ramsey was the last to receive funding or was given a second-class budget.
It's been 6 months of no vehicle access and real lack of any sort of positive information. I don't want to be overly negative about this, but as I sort of said in my post earlier this week, that I do worry that it's going to become pedestrianised permanently. Obviously, maintaining that structure as a roadworthy bridge is expensive for the DOI. I can understand why they would not want to spend it, but I think it's not just a convenient access point for vehicles, it's also an important access point to hold on to for when we have issues with the stone bridge. I'm not suggesting that it's going to collapse anytime soon, but it's going to need maintenance. It's got utilities running through it, and it's a road surface as much as anything else. I don't think they've run out of money. I just don't think they, and this is pretty logical, they wouldn't have a budget every year to fix the swing bridge for a hole. So it's going to come out of whatever budget appears from, and that's that. But also, it's not just money. It is the fact that it's a registered structure. I think that's a bit of a cop-out, but I can understand why that just complicates things and adds a bit of a layer of delay. But 6 months, the road is no longer usable. That, to me, should be getting fixed faster than 6 months. And it's up to us, you know, not just Ramsdown, not just me, Ramsdown commissioners, but the people of Ramsey, to kind of keep that pressure up so that they know that it's not going to be just acceptable to leave it unusable. That's the way I would see things.
That is Ramsay Commissioner Juan McGuinness. Coming up to 5:15, we've had a message from Phil about the food bank to say, I've got into the habit of putting at least one item a week into the food bank basket at the supermarket, usually rice, pasta, canned food or sometimes toiletries. Phil says, I often used to forget purchasing something extra in the past, but now it is part of my routine. Maybe, he says, they should have some reminders in the aisles, which may help to increase donations.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
One thing to report on the police pages, which is always good. There are some traffic lights and things like that to be aware of. Around St Ninian's, the light system there is being replaced. So there are temporary lights and all the filter lanes are out of operation, but access to the petrol station is being maintained. Going to take around 4 weeks or so, that. Also temporary lights on Woodburn Road at the Albany Road Junction. That's for bus stop improvement works. Finch Road, remember, closed between St Barnabas Hill and Christian Road. And in Braddon, there are temporary lights in the Braddon Road. That's just between the hospital roundabout and the Strang for resurfacing. And just again, another reminder about the main road from Peel to St John's. That will be closed again tomorrow between 9:30 and 3. That's for road stud installation. There are diversions in place. All looking good down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman's due into Douglas at around about 6. The Mananan on its way to Liverpool, getting there around 20 to 6. And the Mananan then will be heading back to Douglas at 7:15 and the Manxman heading to Heysham at 8:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
This is Update on Manx Radio, 16 minutes past 5. Right, I'm going to blow your mind with a load of figures now, so just keep listening. First of all, more than 6,200 sanctions were issued to Isle of Man taxpayers in the past financial year for allegedly failing to declare all their income. Treasury Minister Dr Alex Allenson says the majority of those actions were not criminal prosecutions, but administrative penalties, including fines for late tax returns and interest charges on under-declared income. Amy has the details.
Figures were disclosed in response to a written Timwald question from Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper and cover both income tax and national insurance related offences, as well as benefit fraud cases. The Income Tax Division recorded 208 prosecutions in 2023-24, while there were 4,185 prosecutions for income tax and related Class 4 national insurance offences over the past 5 years. The majority of enforcement activity involved non-criminal sanctions, such as penalties for late submissions, interest on unpaid tax, and other compliance measures following inquiries. In the 2023-24 financial year, 5,946 late return penalties were issued, and 83 cases involved detailed investigations triggered by third-party income reporting. There were 3,872 individuals sanctioned in 2023-24. Alongside tax offences, Treasury says there's also been activity in relation to Social Security benefit fraud. In 2024-25, there were 19 prosecutions for benefits-related offences and a further 139 cases where other sanctions were applied. These included official cautions, warning letters, termination of benefits, or reductions in the amount paid. Treasury says that prosecutions for national insurance offences are generally rare and often relate to failures to pay contributions on time or delays in notifying the start of self-employment. In most cases, it says offences are handled administratively. A spokesperson for the department said the goal is to support honest taxpayers and encourage compliance through a combination of education, targeted inquiries, and proportionate penalties. Anyone who's unsure about tax matters is encouraged to contact the Income Tax Division for advice.
Amy Griffiths reporting there. Have you had enough figures? No, I didn't think so, because income tax brought in £21.3 million more than government expected last year. The central government's summary management accounts covering the 24-25 financial year have been published, and Lewis has the details on those.
The unaudited end-of-year accounts show that all departments came in on budget, apart from the Department of Health and Social Care, which, as we know, required an additional £15.3 million supplementary. That overspend was related to the costs of the mandate to Manx Care and covers additional expenditure on services arising during the year above the operational budget allocation. Treasury reports that economic growth was as forecast, with an increase in government income, and the additional revenue brought in by income tax was due to factors such as higher interest rates benefiting savers and the real growth in earnings. It adds, with the successful finalisation of the FERSA calculations announced in March, there's now more certainty regarding income for the next 5 years, and an accounting provision of £51.5 million was able to be released back to reserves. Treasury Minister Alex Allenson says the publication of the full-year summary is designed to provide transparency around how the Isle of Man government has performed against the budget over the previous financial year. It's positive, he says, that income tax receipts are higher than expected, and we continue to monitor this area to understand whether the increase will be restricted to this year or will be repeated in the future. He adds, these accounts demonstrate that while considerable challenges remain around funding the costs of healthcare, a position that's not unique to the Isle of Man, government has achieved a stronger level of control over our expenditure, and I'm pleased to report that greater monitoring and collaboration across the organisation has succeeded in ensuring all other departments are operating within their budgets.
Lewis Foster with that report. That is enough of the figures now, OK? 20 past five, Castletown commissioners say they'll be removing damaged and deteriorating equipment from the children's play area in Pulson Park. It's described the situation as frustrating, but says a contractor has been employed to repaint the wooden fencing and the remaining equipment that's there. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more.
The statement says the board visited Pulson Park and had concerns about the condition of some of the equipment and gave immediate instructions that it be removed. It added it was conscious that the commissioners' manual work staff are busy during the summer, particularly with grass cutting. In a statement, the commissioners confirmed the current provision is not safe and has ordered new items for the area. The board said the children's play equipment had been left in a poor condition and said there was no excuse for it and is unacceptable. It said it apologises for the current situation and wants to assure residents the commissioners are endeavouring to rectify the issues. The local authority added it will be considering other areas which need attention, as well as suggestions from residents about future improvements. It also said that the previous board had asked in May to repaint the wood boundary fencing and play equipment, but the new members found only the grass cutting had been carried out.
Emma Draper reporting there. Now, the oldest art group on the Isle of Man is celebrating its 75th anniversary this year. And to mark the occasion, Man in Art is holding a special exhibition in Ramsey. For the first time, it's also organised an art trail around the town throughout the school holidays. Wendy Turner from the group says it has a rather unexpected twist.
This came about, we were looking for something to sort of celebrate the 75th year, something extra on top of our exhibition. And I'm afraid I sort of helped run the Facebook page for our group. Got into conversations on the Ramsey Community Pin Board page, and it sort of came on the back of that, conversations that were going on with non-members, just people in Ramsey. I sort of thought, well, hey, you know, actually having an art trail this year would be quite good. Now, there's something special about this art trail. It's going to run to the 22nd of August, so it's running for 5 weeks of the school summer holidays. So the idea, obviously, is for families bring their children. It's free, so they can spend an hour or so wandering around the street in Ramsey. It's going to be 20 A4 size works of art done by our members, placed in shop windows, and each one will be numbered. The idea is that children will come along, pick up the leaflet and make note of which numbers where, pop their name and details on, and there's a prize draw when it's all finished. But the rather unique and special thing about this is that all these paintings are known masterpieces. They will be recognised. There are versions, of course, so they're not necessarily going to be the standards of, you know,
masterpieces all the same.
Well, I don't think we could give Rembrandt a run for his money, but we've tried. But each painting is rather special because it's going to feature Thomas the Ramsey Town Cat.
So I hadn't heard of Thomas the Ramsey Town Cat.
Oh no, Thomas is very special. He was actually awarded the Freedom of Ramsey a few months back now at an official ceremony at the Town Hall.
That's Wendy Turner from the Man and Art Group. I can't believe Howard had never heard of Thomas the Cat. Honestly, you have to go to the Max Radio website and see some of those photographs. They're utterly brilliant, and that trail would be a great thing to do this summer. Well, something else that's happening this summer is Manx Grand Prix, just weeks away, starting on the 17th of August. And this year, there's a longer schedule, which has been very well received by racers and fans alike. Here's Chair of the Manx Motorcycle Club, John McBride, Treasurer Ned Bowers, and first Vice Chair Jim Hunter, explaining why this new schedule isn't just good for the MGP.
It works well for the Classic TT as well, because yes, all those guys that the department are keen to encourage, like Davey Tardon, Dean Harrison, who would otherwise be riding at Cadwell Park for the British Superbike on the Monday.
Yes.
They will be at Cadwell Cadwell Park, but they're free to come over to the Isle of Man to compete in the Classic TT races. Mm. So it works for both parties.
Yes.
So.
Having the longer meetings taking a lot of pressure out of it for not only the riders but the officials as well. And it'll probably go well with businesses in the island who will see a greater opportunity for people in shops and the pubs and doing whatever they like to do.
To circulate and hopefully spend money.
There are other events that are going on outside the racing side of things as well, aren't there?
I've been working on a programme. So part of the programme is what's on. So I could run through a few things if you wanted to. There are trials on, if you're into trials riding. There's motocross meetings on. Of course, there's the Vintage Motorcycle Classic Manx Rally, which has events scheduled throughout the 2 weeks. There's the Joe Dunlop Cinema, Joe Dunlop Lap, Joe Dunlop Museum. I think there's an air display as well. It's the RAF Typhoon display. It's going to be taking place on the Thursday. Manx Grand Prix presentation at the Villa Marina. Lots of musical activities on. Derby Day on the Sunday, which Lee Bartram is organising at the moment, so that should be a great day. Oh, there's, at the end of the fortnight, there's the classic two-day trial. Oh, of course, Peel Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Mardi Dumwood Soccer Club have got an event on Thursday, and the Leash Museum, that's Bob, Wobby Bob, he's taking all his bikes out of the museum on the Thursday, the 19th, I think it is. And he calls it the Sound of Thunder, and he closes off the promenade and starts all the bikes up, makes lots of noise.
That is Jim Hunter, who's the vice chair of the Manx Motorcycle Club. We also heard from Ned Bowers and John McBride as well. You can hear much more in the latest edition of Journey to a Dream, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. It is sport time now. Good evening to Darren.
Good evening. Starting with rugby, where tributes are being paid to a sportsman and community figure from the west of the island. Rugby club Western Vikings said it was deeply saddened to learn of the death of its former player Nigel Rawlinson. The team says he remained a keen supporter after his playing career, who also was always involved in fundraising events. Nigel was also the club captain at Peel Golf Club and chair of the Peel Viking Longboats. The club says its thoughts are with Nigel's family and friends at this time. In tennis, Isle of Man star Billy Harris was knocked out of the Washington Open last night. He was defeated in straight sets to fellow British player Cameron Norrie. This was the first match for Harris since his appearance at Wimbledon, where he won his first Grand Slam match. In football, and an English Premier League side have announced the signing of a former Ireland goalkeeper. Isaac Allen, formerly of St John's United, has joined Sunderland AFC's under-21 squad for the new season. The 18-year-old joins from Lincoln, where he made a name for himself as the first-choice goalkeeper for their under-18 side. He was also the key part of a squad that lifted the under-17 Floodlit Cup and was named on the bench for the League One fixture against Bristol Rovers. Sunderland Academy manager Robin Nichols said he had a good build for a goalkeeper and has already shown some of the key attributes we look for in that position. And finally, the Isle of Man Classic TT has announced its entertainment schedule for fans outside of racing. Hoping to bring festival vibes to the event, live music and exhibitions will span the 9 days. A Joey Dunlop tribute will take centre stage to celebrate 25 years since the King of the Road's last TT win in the 2000 Formula 1. Running from Wednesday 20th to Friday 29th of August, the Joey Dunlop pop-up exhibition will feature a collection of memorabilia from that race. The exhibition, which includes a cinema, will be at the Classic TT Fan Zone.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. And in the past hour, the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service has also posted a tribute to Nigel Rawlinson. They say Nigel was a larger-than-life character who proudly served as a firefighter at Peel Fire Station for over 20 years. A well-known and highly respected figure within the local community, his dedication and service leaves behind a lasting legacy and many cherished memories. They say their thoughts are with Nigel's children, family and friends at this difficult time. That is all from Update this evening. Thank you very much for your company. Coming up next, it's Countryside with Simon and Kiri, then Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. At 9, join John Barker for The Folk Show, and then Dave Moore will be here with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.